and a little pause, and there we go. All right, for our message. So Vayikra, and he called. In this portion, we have many commandments from Adonai concerning the offerings made to Adonai, the what's and the how's, the who's and the where's. There are a lot of details. And for many people, they say about this part, you know, doesn't concern us so much anymore because there's no temple. We don't make those sacrifices anymore. So what do? They breeze over them. They don't worry about them. A lot of people, maybe they read it. They see the detail, kind of see the detail, read them over, accept it, but then move on and don't even think about it, what to do with them. But what are we to do with them? We're to look at them and learn from them, because there are principles in the sacrifices that are still going today and will always go. God's principles are forever principles. So let's take a look at one of the details from the burnt offering from Leviticus 1. So Leviticus starts off with the burnt offering. And it says that the person who's making the offering was to bring the animal to the priest. And that same person was to put their hand on his head before the sacrifice. Now, let me read verses 5 through 7 for you. Leviticus 1, 5 through 7 says, he is to slaughter the bull, he being the priest, actually, not the one who brought it, but the priest. He being the person, not the priest. He is to slaughter the bull before Adonai. Then Aaron's son, the Kohanim, are to present the blood and splash it around the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He's to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the Kohen, are to place fire on the altar and arrange wood upon the fire. So I read verses 5 and 6 in order to get context for verse 7, which is really where I wanted to get to. It says the person brings the animal is to kill it, and then the Kohen, the priest, is to place the fire on the altar and then arrange the wood and eventually put the animal on the fire. Now, I was never a Boy Scout, but as kids, I grew up across the street from a wooded field. And we were not bad kids, but we liked to play with fire. Don't do that at home. But we liked to, you know, we had little fire pits and fire barrels, and we made forts, and in the fort we kept the fire going. And as I remember, the way to start a fire was you started with a little bit of kindling, then you put the wood on top of that, and then you introduce the flame. But verse 7 says to put the fire on the altar first. So why is this different? What was this fire they were placing on the altar, even before an actual flame, or at least man's flame? Now, Jewish commentary says that that they were placing a fire of Adonai onto the altar, which was different than the fire of men or fire from earth. The fire of Adonai that they placed on the altar was different in a couple of ways. It says that the fire of Adonai that was placed on the altar had no smoke, and it never went out. So let's take a look at those two things. First, it was smokeless. Sages say that the altar did not produce smoke until man added something to Adonai's fire. When men added their own fire to God's fire, which was a requirement, the smoke would be produced so that the people could see that a sacrifice was being made. The smoke would arise, the sacrifice would arise, going up to heaven. The second is that it never went out. Not in the rain, not in the wind, not during the winter, not when they had disagreements, not when they moved the altar. They never apparently smothered it by putting too much onto it? I know I did when I was making fires and fireplaces and things like that. It never went out. This fire of God was also different in another way. It always consumed. It did not always consume as it burnt. And we see this in a couple of places, but let's look at the most obvious place, Exodus 3. So Exodus 3, 1 and 2 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the furthest end of the wilderness, coming to the mountain of God, Horeb. Then the angel of Adonai appeared to him in a flame of fire from within the bush. So he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, yet it was not consumed." So here, the fire was within the bush, but the bush was not consumed. Obviously, not a regular fire of man, or a fire of the earth. Now, don't get me wrong. The fire of Adonai certainly can, and many times does, burn and consume. And I'm sure it burned bright and hot, but it did not always consume. Sure, it consumes when it's burning most of the time. It does every time man adds to it, and it does when Adonai wants to cleanse and purify. But that is Adonai. He can do things that we can't. He can have a fire that burns without consuming. He can show himself to be different than all of us and all the world. So we look at the fire on the altar of the sacrifice, and we see that we are not really creating the fire. We're not really starting the fire. It's actually Adonai's fire on the altar, and we're adding to it. Whether we're using the fire to burn a sacrifice or to burn the incense, what we're actually doing is adding to what Adonai has already started. Now, I know the word says don't add or subtract from the Lord's word, but here he started something and we're coming alongside of him. So his fire is the fire on the altar. The original fire is actually Adonai's, and in fact, we may even think of it as Adonai, who is the consuming fire, is the fire who's consuming the sacrifice. Because in Scripture, we see references of Adonai as that consuming fire. So let's take a look at a couple of verses here. And we'll start with Exodus 24. 24:17 says, "The appearance of the glory of Adonai was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the sight of Bnei Israel." So they come to the mountain. Remember, as they were wandering, as they were moving out, and Moses brought them to the mountain to get the commandments. And they look up, and there is fire and smoke on top of the mountain. And it says he's a consuming fire. The people on the bottom of the mountain saw it. Maybe not from too close. They weren't allowed up on the mountain. But they saw the glory of Adonai, which appeared to them. That was the fire blazing about the top of the mountain. And we get a little more detail about this in Hebrews, where Adonai is also described as fire. Hebrews 12, we're going to read 12, 18, and 19, and then skip down to 29. So Hebrews 12, 18. "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and storm, and to the blast of the shofar and the voice of those words that made you hear, whose words made those who heard it beg that not another word be spoken to them." And then going down to 29. "For our God is a consuming fire." They saw the fire and they knew it was a consuming fire. Yet, it didn't consume the mountain. But they knew He was a consuming God. He was a consuming fire. Now, the Greek word for consuming there in Hebrews is actually not just to consume, but to be all-consuming. There was nothing left behind. But the people saw the mountain on fire. And obviously the mountain was left behind. The vegetation, we're not told that the vegetation was all burnt up. The vegetation was left behind. Moses himself went up and was in that fire. And he was not consumed. So it's an all-consuming fire, but not all-consuming in the things that Adonai is approving of as well. Adonai is called a jealous God because he wants all of us, in each one of us. When he accepts a sacrifice, he takes it all and does not leave any of it behind. And when he takes it all, like I say. He not only takes it all, but what he leaves behind is victory. Only the best. Even when he leaves behind nothing, he leaves behind total victory over what he has consumed. That's why when we offer up ourselves and our prayers, it's for his victory. Our prayers are called incense to Adonai within Scripture. Those are some of the things that are burnt for him. Our prayers are as incense. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's start with Psalm 141. Psalm 141 starts off with, Adonai, I call to you, come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. We see two things there. First of all, the lifting of hands. Did you know why we lift hands up? It wasn't just to wave at the Lord during praise and worship and during our service. They were like the evening sacrifice. Because this was David being out in the wilderness and unable to be at the temple because he was being chased. So he couldn't make those sacrifices. So he says, may my lift hands be like the evening sacrifice. But it also says the prayers are like incense. And we see that again in Revelation, both in chapters 5 and chapters 8. So let me look at chapter 5 in verse 8 when it says, when he had taken the scroll, and that would be the Lamb, Yeshua, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the Kedoshim, the righteous. The bowls are full of incense, and that incense is the prayers of the righteous. So when we mix our prayers with his fire, something happens. Then we're told it becomes a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But they're not just any prayers. In Revelation, it says the prayers of the righteous. The prayers of the righteous are not just any prayers as well. They're the ones that line up with his word. The ones that agree with his will. They're the ones that please him. Those are the ones that are burnt up and rise up to them. Remember, the incense had to be made just right. And they weren't used for any other purposes. Our prayers, although they don't need to be perfect, they need to be made correctly. That doesn't mean the words have to be just right and just so. Doesn't mean you have to speak King James. It doesn't mean there's a lot of formality that has to be in it. But the heart attitude has to be right. It doesn't mean that your position has to be right. You have to be down on the floor. You have to have your face on the floor. You have to be on your knees. It doesn't mean your hands have to be just, oh, Lord, just right. It just means that we have to have the right attitude in our prayers. They can't be selfish prayers. I believe the selfish prayers are the ones that get totally consumed and are left behind, left dead, gone, burnt up, nothing left of them. But the righteous prayers, the ones that please God, those incense get burnt up and they rise up to heaven. And they are smelled as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. They become sweet. Sweet in the nostrils of Almighty. And those are the ones that are described in Leviticus 2. So Leviticus 2:9, the Kohen is to take from the grain offering its memorial portion and burn it up as smoke on the altar, an offering made by fire, a smooth, soothing aroma to Adonai. When we take our prayers and we align them with Him, they become that memorial portion. And when burnt up with the fire of Adonai, they become the soothing aroma to Adonai. So here, we hear so many people talk about the fresh fire that's needed. Right? Everyone talks about fresh fire. They want fresh fire from Adonai. So what is this fresh fire? Is it something new? Is it something we can chase after? Something we can grab hold on to? Is it something the world's never seen yet? No. It's just the mixing of our righteous prayers and His fire. The fresh fire just indicates a new perspective on our part. It's not that the fire is new. The fire has been as of Ancient of Days, but it's still just as powerful as when everything was created. For those battling through the days today, the fresh fire of Adonai will allow us to get past the things and keep going on. It'll lift us up so that we're not in the consuming fire that just burns everything up because it's unacceptable. It lifts us up. So that we get into that pure fire and that our prayers are like incense rising up to Him. Our prayers become pleasing to Him when we're aligned with Him. So that we may know Adonai. And that we'll know that we gain the victory through our prayers because they rose up to Adonai. A soothing aroma to Him. And the good news is, we don't have to work very hard to get the fire going. Because the fire was, and is, and always will be. It is His, and it is Him. And the fire is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit promised and delivered by Yeshua. So when we pray, we don't have to work hard at praying because He's already in our prayers. When we have righteous prayers, He is already in our prayers. We don't manufacture the prayer. We don't manufacture the effort to make the prayers rise up because that's not what's going to make our prayers rise up to Him. We can't push them up. But we can add righteous prayers to His fire to make that soothing aroma to Him. We add prayers, and by adding our prayer, we add spoken word and sound to the prayer. That's why it's only when our prayers align with Him that they're heard and they're acted upon. Those are the righteous prayers that He hears. It's not when we make efforts. It's not human efforts. You know, there are these, we read liturgy, and these are prayers. Our liturgy's prayer. But the words themselves, they're not what makes them rise up into the nostrils of Adonai as being soothing and sweet and acceptable. It's our heart attitude. It's our acceptance of His love and His mercy. It's the acceptance of the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua. It's the acceptance of His grace that causes our liturgy to rise up to be acceptable to Him. So, Father, we thank You. We thank You that You've let us know who You are. We thank You that You've, by Your word, You've told us what we need to know in order for our prayers to rise up as acceptable to You. We thank You that they can be added to Your fire and cause You to be pleased by them. May we not offer up prayers that are not pleasing to You. Father, during this time, we pray to You because You are almighty. We offer up our heart to You, and we ask, have Your way in these days, in these times that there's fear out there. As our prayers go up, I'm asking that You would soothe over our people, Your people, so they would have a calmness about them, a peace about them, feeling Your love and Your mercy. Help us to put into words our heart attitude, and may our heart attitude be aligned with You in all things. We thank You and praise You in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.